Welcome to Great Art, Big Ideas, presented by the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. Before we begin our program, I want to take a moment to thank our presenting partner, Connecticut Humanities. I am Tiffany Hopkins, media producer for the festival.
And I'm Denise Santisteban, curator for the Ideas Program. All of this season's episodes were recorded as part of our 2022 Ideas events, and were programmed around the theme of Connect.
Today's episode is a keynote address from Andrea Jenkins, educator, poet, writer, transgender activist, and president of the Minneapolis City Council. Andrea discusses her experience in activism and the importance of centering love as a motivating force in social justice work.
Before we hear from Andrea, we are joined in the studio today by Shelley Kiala, executive director of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. Before coming to work with the festival, Shelley lived and worked in Minneapolis for many years.
I got to know Andrea Jenkins through my work at the Ordway Center for the Performing Arts in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I got to know her first as an artist, which was a really fun way into the relationship. I saw her use her art to bring people together, to bring people into her personal story, and to use both her personal story and her artistic sentiments to lead in ways that brought folks together. So it's been so fun to see her move into the political realm and put these skills to work.
And now join us in welcoming Andrea Jenkins.
Hello. Shelley, thank you so much for that incredible introduction. And wow, what a great audience we have tonight. How are you guys doing? Yeah? We are intimate but energetic, right? Hey, man, my name is Andrea Jenkins, and I am the president of the Minneapolis City Council. How y'all doing today? Man, what an honor it is to be here with you all today on this unceded ancestral homelands of the Quinnipiac peoples and so many other indigenous tribes who call this community home, some of whom are extinct now, in a nation built on stolen labor, right? That's the context in which we need to have all public conversations, in my opinion, and I try to incorporate that in my talks. It's Pride Month, so happy Pride. Happy Pride, everybody. To everybody who identifies as LGBTQIA+, so that includes allies, too. And I think since we're such a small group, man, let's just try to build some community here. And I know this is being live streamed, and so if you guys want to join in with this, please, please do. In fact, I'm inviting you to. And I think we just do some group breathing for a few minutes to kind of just settle ourselves into this space, into this conversation, to this talk that I'm calling Black Love in a Time of Social Justice. And so I'm going to invite us all to just take three deep breaths through our nose, exhale through our mouths. We all have on masks, so, or at least y'all all have on masks anyway. But let's do this together. So I'll count to three, and then we'll take our first breath. One, two, three. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Thank you. Thank you. So another little community building exercise, like, you know, who do you think should be here in this conversation tonight, right? Like, who would you have invited to be here or you think needs to be here? They can be deceased. They can be living here among us, family, celebrity, social justice warrior. And we just want to invite them to be here with us in this small little intimate conversation. And I will start it off by just naming, and hopefully we can kind of name these people out loud so they are with us in this space. And I'm going to start out by naming my deceased father, Ezell Jenkins. Anyone else? Marsha P. Johnson. Harvey Milk. Irva Shea Viad, who just passed away 2 weeks ago. One of the founders of the LGBTQIA plus modern movement, civil rights attorney, founder of the conference Creating Change, and so many other amazing, amazing contributions to social justice. Yeah. You know, it's an amazing time to be on the planet right now. And I just want to talk about a few ideas, share a little art, and relate it all to social justice. And again, I'm calling this Black Love in a Time of Social Justice. Justice is what loves look like in public. Reverend Dr. Cornel West. Che Rivera, freedom fighter, states, "The true revolutionary is guided by principles of love." Love. Live with a sense of physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Own their financial future, including the ability to create generational wealth. Vote to protect Black interests. And E, excel in all that they do and amplify the narratives of Black excellence. L-O-V-E, love. Tanya Allen, CEO of the McKnight Foundation. So, since January 1st, 2022, I've been doing this, my own little public art project, I think I'm calling it. And I've been doing or signing all of my email communications with love. Not with love, as in W-I-T-H-L-O-V-E apostrophe Andrea, but just love, Andrea. It doesn't matter if it's to my staff, to my family members, or to total strangers. And it's been about 6 months now, and the experiment is still going. I'm pretty sure some of you who I've been communicating with via email have been kind of maybe taken a little bit aback, or at least feel some level of uncomfortableness because it's very rare that we demonstrate love in public. And so it's just love, Andrea, love, apostrophe, Andrea. And, you know, as the city council president, I get a lot of less than pleasant emails, as you may imagine, right? Like complaining about taxes, potholes, racial justice, police brutality, you know, and my response includes my sign off, love, Andrea. And, you know, if it's not impacting other people, it's certainly having an impact on myself. Because I have to then think, if I'm going to sign this email with love, Andrea, then I want this message to kind of reflect that, right? It can't be contradictory to that, to that sentiment. And I'm doing this not to be cute, not to be condescending or ingenuine even. I'm doing this because the only way that we can fight the rampant hatred in our communities, in our country, in this world, is with love. MLK says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So as a public official, I'm trying to do my part. As Shelley pointed out, I represent the ward that George Floyd was murdered in. I live there, two blocks away. I've been working at this intersection for well over 25 years to try to change the landscape, change the environment. And we were doing a pretty good job. 2 weeks ago, May 25th, we commemorated the 2-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd by renaming the intersection George Perry Floyd Jr. Square. So now it is officially George Floyd Square. And even prior to that, the activists had really claimed this space as sacred space, as a space where people have been pilgrimage. It's kind of hard to come out. Pilgrimage, which is probably not even a word, but making a journey to this place from all over the world. Like I said, it's an intersection that I have poured a quarter of my life to improving the conditions for those living at and around the intersection. This inner city corner with Cup Foods as the sole business, like so many other communities, Black communities in the country, that have corner stores that are owned by foreigners and seemingly serves as a magnet for criminal behavior. And that intersection, Cup Foods, which I'm sure all of you have seen over and over and over on a somewhat strange loop, because it's the backdrop for Derek Chauvin and his knee on George Floyd's neck. Our overarching strategy for revitalizing that corridor was to utilize the arts as a means of stabilizing the corridor. Centering local artists, women, people of color, and utilizing anti-gentrification principles to ensure that no one was displaced. That vision, to a large extent, had been realized. It was anchored by the Chicago Avenue Fire Arts Center and the Third Place Gallery Studio of internationally recognized photographer Wing Young Huey. The intersection had truly ushered in this new era of economic development. City Food Studio, which is a small business incubator that's home to 3 Black-owned restaurants and multiple other small businesses, had really made this a thriving corridor. And then on May 25th, 2020, all of you and the entire world bore witness through the eyes of Pulitzer Prize-winning citizen journalist Darnella Frazier. She captured the public lynching of an unarmed Black man. This single action, this perpetuation of white supremacy, systemic to all institutions in our society, forever changed this intersection from what I had always called the soul of the city to the soul of this nation. And when I say that the world was watching, it could easily be argued that that's an understatement. Every night for 2 years, news helicopters fly overhead, starting before sunrise in the morning and deep, deep into the night. Embedded reporters from all over the world have created like this cottage industry for photographers, videographers, and writers in our area. And for the past 2 years, these self-described caretakers of George Floyd Square have really created what they call an autonomous zone. What everybody in the city calls an autonomous zone, in fact. And they have presented us, the city, with a list of 24 demands that contribute to the elusive concept of justice. What is justice? Wikipedia says justice, in its broadest sense, is the principle that people receive that which they deserve. With the interpretation of what then constitutes deserving being impacted by numerous fields with many differing viewpoints and perspectives, including the concepts of moral correctness based on ethics, rationality, law, religion, and equity. However, we know and understand that justice is unique to each and every one of us. During the days of the unrest, the art that proliferated instantly throughout the entire city, expressions of anger, frustration, resolve, and revolution, but it also called for love, peace, hope, justice, for George Floyd and so many other people who had been, whose lives have been cut short by state violence, by community-based violence, by economic and domestic violence. And then there was the trial. Derek Chauvin. Guilty, guilty, guilty on all 3 counts. The former police officer is now officially branded a murderer. And that's the outcome we don't see every day. You know, people still, you know, the 2-year commemoration, I got calls from all of these journalists all over the country, Washington Post, New York Times, LA Times, like everybody. What's changed? What's changed? I mean, we sent 4 officers to jail. Like, that does not happen in the United States very often. We held them accountable, right? And if holding police accountable means full accountability, we also put $27 million in the pockets of the family members of George Floyd. $270 million would not be enough to replace the grief that they are experiencing because of the death of their loved one. But that is, you know, accountability for this very, very heinous act. Jerry Blackwell, one of the attorneys, called those amazing witnesses a bouquet of humanity. And even the police chief testified that this act went against all department protocol. And I think that moment represents some change. And it certainly calls for deep systemic change. At the core of our problems in this society is systemic racism. It fuels capitalism, patriarchy, and police brutality. That's why I, as a city council member, have called on my colleagues to declare racism as a public health crisis. And until we name and then begin the difficult work of becoming anti-racist, anti-sexist, anti-transphobic society, we will continue to have the disparities in every aspect of American life for Black and brown communities. Once we name it and frame it, then we must repair the harms. Once again, as a city council member, I initiated a truth and reconciliation work group to begin the process of developing an ongoing commission that will analyze, advise, and implement policies and initiatives that recalibrates the wealth equation that currently holds marginalized communities down. And to really bring justice to George Floyd Square and to all of Minneapolis, and more broadly, the type of justice that contributes to and sustains public safety everywhere, it requires building deeply affordable housing. Not only that, we must subsidize real people, not just developers. We have to develop and train folks for green living, wage jobs, sustaining our community while building wealth. We absolutely have to assist with home ownership opportunities to build wealth now and into the future. And we must invest in small businesses and support their efforts to serve the community while taking care of their respective families. Lastly, we must commit to creating a fitting and worthy memorial, not only to George Floyd, but to all victims of state and police violence, a memorial to social justice, and a center for anti-racist training, to not only serve as a vessel that holds our collective narrative, but also lets the healing begin. So that's a little bit about George Floyd Square, and I hope we talk a little bit about it. Right after George Floyd was murdered, on June 7th, which was Prince's birthday, and we just renamed the street after Prince, too, after 5 years of his death. But we had this big gathering in the park, and they called all the council members to come together and talk about defunding the police. And they asked me to write a poem, the organizers. And I'm like, really, y'all want me to write a poem in one day? But it happened. And it's called Quarantine Soul. And remember, this was like in the beginning of the pandemic. There were racial uprisings going on all over the country. And in my community, like, people were literally sleeping under their beds. We felt like we were under attack. We had no police, the fire department, like, you know, eventually the state patrol came in and National Guard, et cetera, et cetera. But it was a very, very tumultuous and traumatic time. But I cranked out a poem in the midst of that. It's called Quarantine Soul. I only think of you on two occasions, baby, and that's day and night. Babyface. One Sunday morning, I listened to the entire discography of Luther Vandross. It made me smile. I cleaned my entire house, one room at a time. I found a jar of Miracle Whip dated used by 6/8/2008. Little Richard, the founding father of rock and roll, passed on. Oh, Lucille, why can't you be true? Our babies falling asleep at the breakfast table that doubles as their school desk. Homeschool mom's rule. Mother's Day came and went, socially distant days and nights, singularity, solo dinner for one. Epic moments moves things. Epic moments make movements. Epic movements start with moments. 61 seconds was a moment. Jamar Clark was a movement. Oh, Lord, we miss Prince right now. He'd probably say something like, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life." Prince went to Baltimore, wrote a song when Freddie Gray was killed, was murdered, throat crushed, back broke. Yeah, Freddie got the knee choke too. There's a deeper, darker side, nefarious forces operating just under the surface. It's like watching the last dance, make you want to stand in line for 48 whole hours to get them new Airs or Yeezys or that Popeye's fried chicken sandwich. Yeah, that's my addiction. Love it when mama frying up them wings in the kitchen. Yeah, but now we can't breathe. Because Ahmaud Arbery was murdered in the streets and Breonna Taylor was murdered in the sheets. It's being treated without respect. It's having to fight for everything. It's not getting the same chances. It's being left out like you don't matter. It's death. I grew up listening to Public Enemy and Real Time. I dialed 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna, then bring the morgue truck and involve the coroner. Quarantine blues. Sitting at home thinking of a master plan. Elizabeth Alexander asked, "What if the mightiest word was love?" We sing songs, dance dances, paint pictures, documenting our pain for the world to witness, but nothing changes. Nothing ever changes. Minneapolis, goddamn! We can't breathe. The EPA eased restrictions on polluting our communities, coronavirus attacking our lungs. America's got its knee on our necks. Mama, it hurts. My back hurts. My stomach hurts. Everything hurts. They are going to kill me. White supremacy is a public health crisis, and we got the cure. So what do you want to talk about next, beauties? Revolution? You wouldn't use that word if you knew what it meant. It ain't pretty. It's bloody. It overturns things. Somewhere in America tonight, somebody is saying, make America great again. We say emphatically, no. Somewhere in America tonight, somebody is saying, why don't they just go home? We say defiantly, no. Somewhere in America tonight, somebody is asking, what do they want? We say demandingly, we want change. Change the way we educate our children. Change the way we employ our communities. Change the way we live and treat each other. Change the way we keep our communities safe. There's a new breeze blowing in. Young voices are taking over. When you put your knee on George Floyd's neck, you woke up a sleeping giant. Young voices said no. They said, when we know justice, you will know peace. No justice, no peace. Hashtag Ayanna Dior, stop killing black trans women. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, a couple of just things, and I want to make sure we get some time for some Q&A and some conversation with Nadine, because I'm really looking forward to that. But I do just want to point out today that all over the country, young people are marching for our lives, against gun violence. As a politician, I support sane, rational gun laws. In fact, if I had any power over it, we would not have guns in our society. And there's no need for us to have weapons of mass destruction. And any gun is a weapon of mass destruction. Let's be real clear. One of the students at Stoneman Douglas High School is a sophomore at Yale now. Young lady named Sari Kaufman. So I just want to point her out. She's still activated since 2018 when that traumatic shooting happened. And is majoring in political science at Yale. Marched this morning to support sane gun rights, you know. So the young people are, they doing their part. We all need to be doing our part as well. You know, I do want to just give my deep condolences to the families of the victims in Uvalde, Texas, and you know, previously the weekend before that in Buffalo, New York. Every day in Chicago and Detroit and Minneapolis and, you know, I suspect even New Haven, where gun violence is taking over our communities and creating all of this unnecessary grief and pain and trauma that we as a society need to work beyond. So thank you, New Haven Ideas and Arts Festival, for inviting me to be a part of this conversation today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Great Art, Big Ideas, presented by the International Festival of Arts and Ideas.
Special thanks to our presenting partner, Connecticut Humanities, and our marquee sponsors, the State of Connecticut DECD Office of the Arts, the City of New Haven, the City of New Haven Department of Arts, Culture, and Tourism, the National Endowment for the Arts, Yale University, the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven, NBC Telemundo, and Connecticut Public.
If you like this series, make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and show your support by making a donation at artidea.org/subscribe.